Peter Boshier is our ombudsman, and his role is to handle complaints and investigate administrative conduct of state sector agencies, including relation to official information. You would have heard on Waitea News that he has slammed the treatment of Māori and Whanganui's Te Awhina acute mental health unit. He says an inspection late last year found Māori disproportionately represented in both the seclusion and time they spent there, and gaps in the paperwork also made him uneasy. He's with us to speak of those reports, and I'm intrigued too, because both outfits that he visited are on the same hospital grounds. A warm welcome to you, Peter Boshier. Tēnā koe, thanks for joining us today. Ngā mihi nui kā koe.
Thanks very much, Dale. Kei te pihe koe.
Kei te pai, Peter. Thanks for joining us. Look, you've got two mental health facilities on the same grounds. One's got a Māori name, so the implication is that it's Māori run, but you might clarify that. But first, these unannounced visits, are they they really seem the only way to get an accurate assessment of what's going on inside, aren't they?
Yeah, well, look, Dale, first of all, it's really good to have this kōrero with you, because the way in which tangata whai ora are being treated in the mental health system, it is time that we have a discussion about this. And so this is a welcome opportunity for me to do so. You're right, we've got two facilities on exactly the same site. One, Stanford House, an exemplar of how a good mental health facility should operate, and the other, which is Te Awhina. Really, we found it wasn't operating in Te Ao Māori or according to tikanga, and I'm happy to develop that. But it's time we start talking about this and the way in which DHBs and the Ministry of Health is not being a good steward for Māori in relation to outcomes for mental health services.
And I'm interested in the negative stereotyping that the media employ that make us less proud of ourselves than we should be. And so to have a name, Te Awhina, the name is a beautiful name, but it feels to me that it's not being Māori run. I mean, this is the one of two facilities that you've criticised. Te Awhina is an acute mental health facility. I think it's got 12 beds or something. Right next door to it is Stanford House. That's got 15 beds. So is Te Awhina Māori run from your perspective, Peter?
No, it's not. And just by the way, your point about the name, Te Awhina, is very well made. As I sign off these various reports of facilities, many of which have Māori names, like Manaakitanga, in fact, when I look at the way facilities are operating, it's not in accordance with what the Māori name would have us believe should be happening. So the difference between the name and the branding is often quite different to the reality. So with Te Awhina, can I highlight what my concern is? And remember, I'm here not as an advocate, but as someone who's required by the Parliament to report on what I see and whether it meets standards. And for Māori, those standards must be according to what is appropriate for Māori. We just can't have something that operates uniformly and doesn't understand and incorporate treaty principles. My biggest concern, Dale, was this, that there are 46% of tangata whai ora in this facility, but the use of seclusion relates to 90% Māori. Now, what's my concern about that? Well, your listeners know that the things so vital and important to Māori, such as Papatūānuku, Ranginui, that the sky, the sea, the trees, the land and stimulation is what really the Te Ao Māori world, I think, turns on. And you hear in a de-stimulation seclusion room, Dale, there is nothing. There is no stimulation. There is nothing. There is no connection with the world or with whānau. And I would like to see a cultural change to enable it to be done differently. And that's, I think, the major message I'd like to give.
You know, we're nervous, Peter. If you go unannounced into such facilities in Whanganui, you know, what's going on in other parts of the country? And if these shortcomings are so stark, when you visited one side, got good practice, no seclusion, and good record keeping the other side, well, you don't know how many people have been, you know, locked up in a dark room on their own because the record keeping was poor. And again, I can't help but think, you know, should there be a challenge to take away the name until the practices fit what the name implies?
Yes. Well, I don't blame you for making that observation. The virtue of the unannounced visit is that what you see is what you get. Whereas, as you know, if it's a bit like saying to you, you've got guests coming on Sunday, so you make sure that the house is spick and span ready for them. If people just drop in and see you for what you are, then that's often the reality. And so that's why the convention that we work under requires us to do a certain number of our visits unannounced, because then what you see is what you get. The other thing I'd just like to say is that really the Ombudsman is the only watchdog who really has this role. Often those out in public, whānau, hapū iwi, don't necessarily have an open window to peer in and see how, in this case, tangata whai ora are being treated. So I really take the role seriously. I'm not trying to be dramatic over this. But look, you will have noted, because you observe what we do time and time again in mental health facilities, we see the standard not up to what it should be. So we just have to keep calling it out until people are prepared to make change.
Pete, I say this with great respect to you. Should there not be ombudsmen that would acknowledge the treaty better than the sole position? Or ombudswomen?
Well, it's a neutral. Let's talk about the word ombudsman. It's a fairly difficult expression in terms of the fact that it's Scandinavian in its origin. And we imported it as the first office outside Scandinavia to have an ombudsman office in 1962. That segues, though, into me telling you what we've done lately, because I think it's really good for me to acknowledge this. I think I knew, Dale, that in my own education, both at school and in university, the Treaty of Waitangi, Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and what it really meant and imported wasn't taught to me correctly. And as I've bedded into this job, I've wanted to come to grips with how I get kia tuia ureti, fairness for all, to both Māori and also all other New Zealanders. So I've set up a Māori board. I call it Puhara Mana Tangata. We have some very well-known and, can I say, feisty Māori on that board. And the change that's occurred for me is to give me a lens that I can look through issues that come to me through in a way that I wasn't able to do before. And I really hope the model that we've started here to give me as the leader of this large organisation, 160 of us, a way in which we can deliver fairness better for Māori, I hope others see that the way we're going about it is perhaps a way that others might like to replicate.
And I thank you for sharing that kōrero with us too, because, well, to be honest, Peter, I didn't know. But, you know, congratulations to you on the mahi that you're doing. Thanks for highlighting the shortcomings. We can only get better if people are pointing out, you know, how best practices not being observed. But I do note that of 14 recommendations that you made, 2 tawhenua, 11 of them were accepted and 3 partially accepted. And next door, an example of best practice. So right on the same grounds, 2 differing performances, but hopefully, you know, coming together in a better way going forward. Peter Boshier with us, the Ombudsman. Good stuff, Peter. Thanks very much for joining us. You're always welcome, mate. Thanks very much.
And thank you very much for the kōrero. I hope it's been interesting and I've enjoyed it.
And I have too. Thanks, Peter. Thanks so much. Kia ora.